You're listening to the Crop Disease Podcast, a podcast that will keep you up to date on how to manage common crop diseases faced by Australian growers. Crops are just out of the ground and the season is underway. But what's going on where, and what diseases are taking off in which regions, and what can be done about it? If you're wondering about these things, then you've come to the right place, as we're about to go on a quick trip across four different grain-growing regions. Hello, it's Megan Jones from the Centre for Crop and Disease Management, and I'm going to get the latest seasonal updates from four agronomists from Queensland, New South Wales, South Australia, and WA. Also with me on this journey is my co-host, CCDM Director Mark Gibbard. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hi, Megan. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. So did I hear that you're off to the WA's Eastern Wheat Belt tomorrow? What are you up to?
I'd love to get out of the office, Megan. Yes, I'm going out to the east of the Wheat Belt, out past Berridon, down to Marvel Lock for a visit to a farm out there on Thursday. And I've second visit out in that direction in the last couple of weeks. This is the time of the year when I like to get out and have a good look at how the crops are establishing, talk to the farmers that we're working with, look at the field sites that have gone in for our various experiments and trials, and just have a good look around and get a feel for how we're starting and whether we're getting a nice even establishment of crops, how people are feeling about the year coming forward, and get a bit of a feel. That helps to guide some of the decisions that we make in our research within the season. And, you know, for example, we might have trials in the ground that we decide to alter the timing of fungicides that go on to get a better effect. So I like to get out there and hear what people are doing on farm, and then hope that we can then, if necessary, look at what we're doing in our experiments to match the on-farm conditions as closely as possible.
Oh, sounds brilliant, Mark. Well, I hope it all goes well for you. So I mentioned before, I spoke to four agronomists from different regions of Australia and asked them about the disease issues they're currently dealing with. Shall we listen to what they said?
Sounds great.
Okay. So let's start north and come back west. So starting with Queensland in St George, where I have Tessa Diamond from Ag and Vet Rural, an agronomist who covers southwest Queensland. Tessa, what are growers up to in your way?
So we're kind of at the end of our planting window for winter. We're traditionally a summer rainfall area. We range in like get up to 500 mils annually. So we're generally going into our cropping with hopefully a full profile into our winter cropping. But this year we had a good start to the summer, but then it's dried off after Christmas. And so we've got good subsoil moisture and we just really needed a bit more rain to shore up planting. We had a bit of opportunistic rain in March, got a bit of oats in. Also in our area, we can put in faba beans early in April, moving into our long season wheats of Sun Max, and then moving into our main season where we're putting in wheat and chickpeas. At this time of year, we've got some rain forecast for the next 7 to 10 days, which people could possibly be looking at putting in late wheat. But the other option, they could hold off and they can put in some August, September planted sorghum, which is another option that they can look into.
So it might be a bit too early, but can you tell me, are there any disease issues happening at the moment?
Well, because it's been a dry start to the season this year, there hasn't been too much, but we had a good 2 to 3 years. So we need to still stay vigilant and make sure that we're being preventative and keeping on top. But no, not so much at the moment. Maybe a little bit of net blotch in our barleys might start coming through soon. We've got a rain change in the next 7 days. So we're starting to look at maybe putting some propiconazole on those crops. Wheat's a little bit behind, so it's not at that stage just yet. Probably looking at maybe a grass herbicide in that.
Sounds good. Actually, can you tell me a little bit about last season? What was it like disease-wise?
So it was a high-pressure year. We actually had powdery mildew in our area, which I have not seen in the last 7 years, and I don't think it's been around for the last 10 years. So very wet conditions, high yielding, some like really bad water logging and water laying around right at harvest in more south of our area. So yeah, that's why it's important to stay vigilant and keep on top of, like, we've had a lot of cereals on cereal and not stay like keeping in with our rotation of having chickpeas or a legume in there. So that's really important going into this year to still put chickpeas back in the rotation.
Thanks, Tessa. Now, moving further south to New South Wales, I have agronomist Fred Broughton from Rural Management Strategies, who is based in Cootamundra and covers the southern regions of New South Wales. How are growers going in your region, Fred?
At this stage, growers are just finishing up their canola spraying, targeting ryegrass particularly. We've recently received a fair bit of rainfall, and that's given growers a lot of confidence and stimulate a lot of spreading or top dressing of urea. Fortunately, there's actually few diseases that are causing problems at the moment. You know, crops are only a little bit delayed from normal, and from previous seasons' high disease load, growers are very proactive in using seed treatments and flutriafol in particular. So at this stage, we've only seen sporadic reports of septoria in cereals and some minor blackleg in canola.
It's still early days, isn't it?
Correct, yes. And if weather conditions continue as they have in the last few weeks, we'll be definitely doing some spraying in the near future.
How was it disease-wise for you last season and your growers?
Yeah, last season was particularly challenging with disease. We're very widespread and just getting control with trafficability and the timeliness of operations was incredibly challenging. And even the differences between varieties and their susceptibilities to diseases was very pronounced and just made managing diseases very difficult. In combination with waterlogging, that was, I think, underrated in the damage that it caused to crops. And, very hard to work out the economics of a disease control program when, you're not necessarily sure what your yield potential is or, the effect that waterlogging was having on the crops yield-wise.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a difficult year then, would you say?
Absolutely, yes. very difficult.
Thanks, Fred. Now, moving to South Australia, I've got advisor Mick Faulkner from AgriLink Agriculture Consultants in Penwortham, who covers the mid-north of South Australia. How are growers going in your region, Mick? Are they facing disease issues yet?
We went into the season with a fair bit of subsoil moisture in a lot of areas, and with the wet conditions that we've experienced, and nothing out of the ordinary in terms of wet, but their trafficability has been a bit of an issue, and so there's still a little bit of seeding going on, and people are now scratching to catch up because we've had incredible winds for the last week. We've had basically a whole week of 40 to 100 kilometre an hour winds, and so that's put people back with their spraying programs as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And how much sort of rainfall have you had in the last few weeks?
Last week, generally, I would say there was at the lower end 25 millimetres up to about 45. And prior to that, there was also rain a couple of weeks ago. So June, it's not above average generally for June, but it's been pretty good. Whereas the southeast of South Australia is quite wet, and they've received a lot of rain, especially over the last 3 weeks. So while seeding basically got finished or close to finish, there's now water laying in paddocks that are flatter or have heavy soils. It varies as you go further south.
So I know it's pretty early on in the season at the moment, but are there any disease issues happening at the minute?
No, I think we're all nervous about disease because we've had we had all the stripe rust issues last year, and we've dealt with septoria in wheat of recent times, and we did have a green bridge over summer. So we know that we're waiting patiently. We don't want to go and waste fungicides by applying them too early, and we need to have the critical growth stages to protect and not waste them. So we fully anticipate, almost irrespective of the season, that we'll have stripe rust. We of course won't know exactly what strain it is because there were so many variants out there last year, and we don't know which one is going to carry over. So we know we had a green bridge, but we also know that it was a green bridge in New South Wales and Victoria that would impact us anyway, even if we didn't have one locally. So the other diseases, of canola. We're seeing a reasonable amount of canola blackleg on juvenile leaves. It just puts an alert, I guess, for us later. If we happen to have those seasonal conditions where aerial blackleg is a threat, then you know, we will have to make some adjustments then. But that's a fair way from now.
Thanks, Mick. Now, finally to Western Australia. Agronomist Monica Field from Farm and General in Esperance covers the most southeast regions of the WA wheat belt. Monica, can you tell me what's happening in this part of the world and what diseases are around?
We've had some very large falls in the last week, so at the moment people are trying to get back on paddocks, but I guess we've had a big variation in terms of rainfall through the April, May, June, depending where you are in the Esperance zone, but a lot of broadleaf spraying go on. Most of the canolas are all done. People are trying to get more nitrogen on crops. And there is a lot of water sitting in certain areas because there's been a few of the coastal strips have had 150 mils in the last week. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of water to move. But then it also has been the Mallee have had quite good rains as well. So it's been very nice across the whole zone, which is good.
So people are pretty hopeful at the moment?
Yeah, definitely a lot more optimistic. We had, yeah, probably a trickier start. The eastern side of Esperance has been more consistent rainfall. The western side has been a little bit hand-to-mouth through that May period, but there's been some very good crops and some very good potential still in the zone, I think.
Okay, great. So I know it might be a bit too early, but are there any disease issues at the moment popping up?
We're just starting to see a little bit of net-type net blotch in the early barley crops. Not huge amounts, but we're aware of how aggressive it was last year, so we'll be fairly aggressive back, I would say, in terms of trying to control it. There's definitely been downy mildew in some of the canola varieties earlier. We're seeing a little bit of blackleg with those tight rotations in canola, and haven't seen a huge amount of wheat diseases yet. As of present, there's been a little bit through the pulse space as well, Cercospora and Chalky Spot in the beans.
So you did mention last year. Can you just give us a little overview of what happened last year with disease? Was it pretty bad or was it?
It was, yeah, very high pressure year. Like we obviously had quite a wet year and quite a very long tail finish to the season. So we saw very aggressive early powdery mildew with wheat. We dealt with but probably the worst net type net blotch I've seen in barley, where we literally felt like we couldn't control it. We have some large areas of the Esperance zone that grow a canola wheat canola rotation, and that rotation has probably expanded in area in the last couple of years. So that intensity of canola, I think, has seen an increase in pressure on blackleg and an increase in sclerotinia. And we had with quite late rains and a late finish last year, you definitely saw in some of those crops a late kind of sclerotinia infection where two sprays weren't applied.
Thanks, Monica. So, Mark, what did you think of all of that? After such a high disease season last year for most states, there's definitely a lot of preventative strategies and caution going into this year, which is quite understandable, don't you think?
Yes, Megan, absolutely it is. And it's really pleasing to hear what people are seeing happen out in paddock and the advice that they're giving. One of the issues of a high disease year like we saw last year, which was I hate to use the word, but it was unprecedented, really. It was one of the highest disease pressure years that I've seen in my career. One of the issues of that is that you end up building a whole lot of inoculum into the system on the trash and the stubble and leftover material. So if the conditions are conducive this year, then there's a high chance that we'll see high levels of early infection once again. So it's fantastic to see that people are deploying best practice as early as they possibly can, high use of in-furrow fungicides. And certainly the other thing that I really like to highlight is the importance of selecting the most resistant possible genetics in these circumstances. So having a good look at for the variety that you're wishing or the crop that you're wishing to plant, have a good look at the ratings of each of the varieties and select those that have the highest possible resistance. Now, of course, for this year, everything's in the ground. But if you've got varieties out there that have a low resistance rating and you expect a high disease pressure, you really need to be on the lookout now and really think about when you're going to get the next lot of fungicides on and make sure that you don't skip over that. You get out there as early as possible because the weather conditions look conducive. Certainly the inoculum is going to be there. And it's just going to be a matter of time before you see those disease symptoms ramp up in the absence of a really good fungicide control strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. Some great advice there, Mark. Thanks for that. Okay, now let's move around the country again and hear about the kind of management strategies they're recommending at the moment. Does that sound okay?
Sounds great.
So let's start again in southwest Queensland with agronomist Tessa Diamond. Tessa, what are some strategies you're trying to get growers to think about right now?
As I said before, probably, well, at the moment, we'd be just looking at putting on a preventative fungicide in front of any rain. But we need to make sure that where we've had volunteers over the summer, that they can be a vector for inoculant over the summer from our last high inoculum and high disease year. So just remembering that and going forward and putting on a fungicide if in front of a rain event or if it's going to be still a yielding crop, thinking about that.
So any interesting insights or is there anything different happening in the region that's worth keeping an eye on?
We've had a big 2 to 3 years in our area. We're looking down the barrel of maybe being drier. So we just need to make sure that we're getting back into a good cropping rotation where we're including legumes like faba beans and chickpeas so that we can be reducing that inoculum and also looking at keeping on top of your weed management during your fallow, the selection of varieties, whether it be wheat or chickpeas, are all good points to be moving forward this year.
Thanks, Tessa. Let's move south to New South Wales with Fred Broughton. Fred, what sort of strategies should growers be thinking of and anything worth keeping an eye on?
At the moment, most crops have been covered with a seed treatment or some sort of preventative. And in the next few weeks and month, people start looking at stripe rust and other foliar diseases, septoria, yellow leaf spot, that might need controlling, dependent on the variety of cereal that they're growing, spot form and net form, net blotch, scald, are also issues that we foresee, is going to be prevalent the next few weeks or a month. At this stage, growers are a little bit concerned about the forecast for the latter part of the year, and people are trying to manage the economics. Commodity prices are reducing, inputs are still relatively expensive. Managing cash flow and managing their expenditure compared to the last couple of seasons, that's been quite a big talking point. Yeah, currently weather conditions are very conducive to disease development, and as such, growers are thinking about disease management in the next few weeks. However, with the dry forecast predicted, that may indicate that some of this disease or fungicide use and disease pressure may not materialise, and as a result, may not require the level of control that people are predicting at the moment. So many of our growers will play it by ear and see what the next month, 6 weeks holds weather-wise, and treat diseases as they appear.
Thanks, Fred. Now moving on to South Australia's mid-north region with Mick Faulkner. Mick, how about in your region? What management strategies should growers be thinking about and what should they keep an eye on?
Well, I think there's no doubt that there'll be the chance of having stripe rust and septoria infections are high in wheat, and so that they'll need to manage that from the start of stem elongation. There's certainly more people with the double spray showing success. And the area I work in, we have a lot of eye spot in wheat anyway, so we're almost compelled to put on a GS30/31 spray anyway to make sure we get eye spot, and that gives us very good protection for septoria and stripe rust. So then it's just a follow-up later on if necessary. A bit harder, I think, with the canola diseases because last year was probably the worst sclerotinia we've seen for a long time. But and we know there was sclerotinia in many of the pulse crops as well, and we're growing canola more on pulses than we were 10 years ago. So we know the sclerotes are there, the potential was there for sclerotinia, but once again, it depends on those conditions in and around early flowering as to whether we get whether we need to do anything about sclerotinia. I think one of the interesting things is that a lot of people are with their profile nitrogen testing that the nitrogen levels are quite low, especially in the intensive rotations after big wheat, barley and canola crops. So nitrogen levels are low, but early growth is fantastic because of those warmer conditions. So we have that bit of a conflict of knowing that we need some nitrogen along the way, but at the moment we have very, very good growth due to early rainfall, so a little bit of mineralisation, but also those very, very warm conditions that we had over the previous 2 months. So it's a bit more of a juggling act this year to get make sure we get the canopy and the maturity and the nitrogen fertility right, and also to make sure that we've got money in the budget if we need it for fungicides.
Great to hear, Mick. And finally to WA's Esperance region with Monica Field. Monica, what management strategies should growers be thinking about in your region?
So I guess start with barley. Anywhere that is still growing planet, all those really susceptible varieties, we've been fairly aggressive. We're kind of using a seed treatment or an in-furrow treatment early. Then we're looking at a probably Z31, Z32 spray, and then a horn peep type, making sure we're covering that whole length of the season to try and stop it getting to the lengths that it got last year, I think. So a bit more proactive maybe sometimes than we can be. That's probably net type in the most spot type. I think we're just playing it by variety, yield expectation, what their rotation is. That we've probably had a improvement in some of the varieties we have for spot type net blotch, so that's a little bit better. But net type is still a bit of a problem in that higher rainfall zone that we're managing.
Has there been any interesting or different things happening in the region that's worth keeping an eye on?
So like I kind of said, I think there has been a bit of a shift in terms of hectares. Barley hectares have come dramatically back in the last 2 years. And so that has been replaced with basically canola and wheat. So we've probably put a lot more pressure in that system. So much bigger hectares with that kind of tight canola, wheat, canola rotation. So that, I guess, yeah, like I say, it puts more pressure in a canola space on canola disease, more stubble. And then also in that wheat rotation, there will be some more wheat on wheat paddocks that will probably increase that pressure.
Thanks, Monica. Well, there you have it, Mark. Some interesting commonalities between the strategies mentioned, such as crop rotation to reduce inoculum, as well as seed and in-furrow treatments following the high disease season. What did you think about all those comments?
Again, Megan, it's really great just from the last two people that you've interviewed to hear that they're deploying really good strategies, and it's just fantastic. The messages are getting out there, and the agronomists are playing a really key role in helping to support the industry to adopt those strategies wherever possible. Of course, we're always interested to hear how they go, and if the strategies are working, that sort of feedback's really important for us. And where they're not working, that could be a really good alert for us as well. And so please, if people are seeing particularly their fungicide strategies failing or appearing to fail in the field, get into contact with CCDM and let us know, because we might like to get a sample from that area and have a test for fungicide resistance and get some information back to you as soon as possible. But it sounds like we're off to a roaring start, and it's fantastic to see that things are really well set up. My observations out in at least the West Australian wheat belt is that we're onto a good start. Establishment's been delayed in some areas, but it looks pretty good. We're hearing about waterlogging in some areas in the south and some dry areas in the north, of course, and that's just farming. But people are managing what they've got really well, and I'm hearing a lot of positivity from the farmers that I'm talking to. So now we really have to look at how we're going to bank on that going forward to provide the best possible protection strategies for this next phase of growth leading through to flowering and seed set and our final harvest. So look forward to talking more about that as the year progresses.
Yep, absolutely. And you mentioned people to contact us, and I'll put the contact details in the podcast description. So I do plan to check in again with the four agronomists in about a month or two's time, which is when disease usually takes off. What do you think the crops might look like in 2 months' time from here?
Oh, that's a really good question, Megan. And of course, there's going to be some people who have got it absolutely right and they look fantastic. And some of that's going to be by design and some of that's going to be by luck. And there'll be others who've got some pretty high disease pressure. And certainly based on, the level of disease we had last year, the conditions that we're experiencing right now, this is quite conducive to a high disease pressure year again. So I'm hoping that people will take the time to not just talk to their agronomists, of course, but also to go and have a look at the AFRIN webpage to have a good look and just think about their fungicide rotations, make sure that they've got a good strategy there to help minimise the development of resistance. But I'm sure next time we talk, we'll be talking a little bit about fungicide resistance because it's that time of the year when we start to see it to appear. And there's a few really interesting things starting to happen in that area for us, which I really look forward to talking about on the next podcast as well, Megan.
Yeah, me too, Mark. It'll be great to have you back again. And we'd better wrap up this podcast now. So thanks so much for joining me.
It's a great pleasure, Megan. Thanks for having me along.
And thanks to everyone out there for listening. And please keep an eye out for our next episode, which will be on Sclerotinia stem rot in canola. It should be a good one. See you then.
This podcast is brought to you by the Centre for Crop and Disease Management, a national centre co-supported by Curtin University and the Brains Research and Development Corporation.